From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Monday, March 25th, and here are today's headlines. Governor Phil Scott has announced Vermont's next Secretary of Education. Zoe Saunders is a former charter school executive from Florida. She comes to Vermont from Broward County Public Schools, the sixth largest public school system in the country, where she currently serves as Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer. Vermont's public school system is at a high-stakes juncture, with school funding issues coming to the fore during town meeting day. Scott says Saunders is the right leader for this moment.
Our education system is at a critical stage. We have big, big challenges. But I also believe we have many opportunities. And I know Zoe will be able to help us navigate both.
Saunders previously worked for Charter Schools USA, one of the largest for-profit charter school companies in the country. The new secretary is planning on going on a listening tour of the state, and her first day of work is on April 15th. The Vermont Senate gave preliminary approval to a controversial fish and wildlife bill on Friday. The bill takes away the rulemaking power of the Fish and Wildlife Board, which currently writes hunting, fishing, and trapping regulations. Under the bill, the responsibility would instead go to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It also bans hunting coyotes with dogs in Vermont. Senator Russ Ingalls is a Republican from Essex County who opposes changing how fish and wildlife regulations are written.
Because once they get rid of hounding with coyote hunting with hounds, they will go after bear hunting.
The bill's supporters say they're adamant it is not an attack on hunting or trapping in Vermont. A late amendment softened a requirement that the board be split between people who hunt, fish, or trap and those who don't. Instead, the bill now calls for a balance of viewpoints, and it no longer calls for stricter regulations on trapping. Lawmakers in the Vermont House late last week sent a bill to the Senate that bans seeds treated with neonicotinoid pesticides. Most corn and soy seed in Vermont is treated with them. The bill would ban the coated seeds in 2027, when New York State bans them as well. For vegetables, it restricts spraying to times when plants are not in bloom. Representative Robin Chestnut Tangerman is a Democrat and beekeeper from Middletown Springs who sponsored the bill.
To me, the strength of this bill is that it follows the science. It's not based on ideology or hope or fear.
A Cornell Literature Review found that the pesticides harm bees and other pollinators, but do not benefit farms financially. Several Republicans said they don't want Vermont to join New York in leading the way on the issue, and that we should instead wait for federal action. State lawmakers are considering legislation that would set up a new fund to support Vermont's community access TV stations. It would be paid through a new tax on streaming services like Netflix and Disney+. Lauren Glenn Davidian is with CCTV. She says Vermont's 24 community access TV stations get most of their money from cable companies, which are losing business around the country.
The national trends are clear that cable revenue is declining as customers switch to internet sources for entertainment and news. And this has an impact on the revenue source for community media centers.
Davidian says without new revenue, community stations could face a deficit of more than $4 million by the year 2030. Middle and elementary schoolers across the state are preparing to compete in this week's statewide spelling bee. Vermont's state spelling bee is for students in grades 1 through 8. The students competing are the finalists from their school's individual competitions, according to WCAX. The winner of this bee will represent Vermont in the Scripps National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. in May. And coming up, who's hoping to cash in on the expected tourist explosion to Vermont when the total solar eclipse occurs next month? That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
The total solar eclipse passing over northern Vermont could bring over 100,000 visitors and millions of dollars to the state. Vermont Public's Lexi Krupp has been talking with some of the people capitalizing on eclipse fever.
The calls started coming in last year from people with seasonal properties and Airbnbs.
Well, they've got invited guests coming, and they said, well, we don't want everybody using our bathroom, so we're going to rent a portalette.
Kim Littlefield runs Complete Excavation and Septic Services in Isle La Motte in the Champlain Islands. They rent out porta-potties and other portable restrooms.
So I said, wow, okay, I better expand this and put a little ad out there for anybody.
That ad Kim made, it's three photos stacked on top of each other of a solar eclipse, people wearing eclipse glasses, and Kim with her staff in front of a row of porta-potties. Text over the image reads, "Be a part of history, solar eclipse," with the company's phone number. It ran on social media at the beginning of the year. And since then, Kim says interest has only grown.
We're getting a lot of the calls of, oh God, am I too late? I know this is a big deal. Do you have any units left? So people are really anticipating that this has gone crazy. It's almost like gone viral.
She's booked porta-potty rentals at restaurants, state parks, and the town of Aalborg. They're hosting a three-day festival with fireworks and a parade. Many towns are planning something similar. And the financial boost spread out in so many places could add up.
Maybe between $10 and $20 million. I think that's conservative, but it's certainly possible that we might see that kind of bump.
Heather Pelham is the commissioner of the Department of Tourism and Marketing. She says that's the estimate for spending from out-of-state visitors. And all sorts of places are hoping to get in on the action, like a church in downtown Burlington.
We created a homestay program where we've asked congregants to host basically strangers who are coming here for the eclipse as a fundraiser for the congregation, but also as an act of hospitality. I'm Reverend Karen G. Johnston, and I am the senior minister here at First Unitarian Universalist Society, Burlington. Some people know it as the church at the top of Church Street.
I met her in the sanctuary on a sunny afternoon this winter. She was wearing tights covered in stars and a black dress with an image of the moon passing over the sun. She says the idea for the fundraiser came from a few church members. They built a website and organized over 20 listings for sale, ranging from $100 a night for a pull-out couch to $1,500 a night for a three-bedroom apartment. One of those offerings belongs to Mark Cooprich. He runs a short-term rental in his building, and he said it went immediately.
For quite a bit of money, so that will be a tremendous donation to the society here. And then I said, well, what the heck? So I'm going to stay with a friend of mine, and I've rented my own apartment. So I'm in it to win.
Other church members, like Louis DeRosset, said they wanted to participate to give visitors an opportunity to experience the eclipse. It was something he missed out on as a kid in elementary school in Louisiana.
They made us all stay inside because they didn't have eclipse glasses and wanted to keep us safe. So we stayed inside and watched a TV broadcast of the eclipse while it got dark outside.
This time around, he's excited to see his first total solar eclipse with his family. He hasn't decided on where exactly he'll go yet. And neither has Kim Littlefield with the septic company in Isle La Motte.
From what I'm hearing, traffic is going to be jammed. So I think it's not even productive for our dump trucks or our service trucks to be out there unless it's an emergency call.
She plans to tell her staff to take the day off, so they also have a chance to be a part of history. For Vermont Public, I'm Lexi Krupp.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lola Dufour, Abigail Giles, Howard Rice Tisman, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.